From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us today for Let the Bible Speak. This is Alan Cairns saying hello to you and hoping that you'll stay with us for the rest of this 30-minute segment. It's good to have you with us, and I hope that the Lord will have a word for your heart that will bless you and encourage you and teach you something from His Word that will be a means of edification as the Lord would Himself open the Scriptures to us. We will be continuing today our study of Colossians chapter 1. We're continuing to look at verse 24 and following, and we're considering particularly how Paul describes the work and heart of a gospel minister. First, however, it's time for our daily devotional Bible study and our thought for the day to challenge and to comfort. Today the devotional is taken from Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 8. The theme is From Gloom to Glory. And the text says, He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare His generation? With the great body of Protestant exegetes, I take this text as a statement of Christ's resurrection and exaltation. Literally it means, from prison or oppression and judgment, He was taken away or released. Death was not the end for Christ. He rose again the third day, the conqueror of death and hell. Thus, there are two views of Christ in our text, Christ as prisoner and Christ as conqueror. Let's think of Christ as prisoner. Prison speaks of oppression as well as of a place of incarceration. Our Lord was taken prisoner in Gethsemane and taken to Ananias. He was led a prisoner to Caiaphas, in whose house He could have spent time in the dungeon awaiting the Jews' verdict. He was taken as a prisoner to Pilate, and from Pilate to Herod and back again. Finally, He was led as a prisoner to Calvary. As a prisoner, the Lord Jesus endured a trial and a judgment, both of which were cruel mockeries of justice, and crimes unparalleled in human history. Jonathan Edwards preached a famous sermon called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Here we are dealing with the reverse, the Son of God in the hands of angry sinners. No greater commentary on the depravity of man and the patience of God can be imagined. Christ endured all the ignominy and shame of His imprisonment, and when He had made a full atonement for our sins, He gave up the ghost and was laid in the tomb, the last stage of His imprisonment. His enemies thought the story was finished. They were wrong. Indeed, it had only begun. For we must think of Christ as conqueror. Death could not hold Him. He rose from the dead, and later, God His Father took Him up to glory. Our text says He was taken from prison and judgment. Taken, in this verse, is the word that's used in Psalm 49 verse 15 to denote resurrection. God took Christ as He took Enoch and Elijah. He took Him bodily up to heaven. The tomb is empty, and thank God the throne is occupied. Let us rejoice then that we serve the risen, conquering Savior. And our thought for the day from the Baptist theologian Augustus H. Strong. Before Christ's resurrection, it was twilight. It is sunrise now.
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the
If you're a regular listener to Let the Bible Speak, you will no doubt have heard me mention the booklet Separated Unto the Gospel. Let me tell you a little more about it, and perhaps you'll decide you would like to receive a free copy. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church here in North America, and this booklet aims to tell you what you need to know about our church. In a time when mainline Presbyterianism has become increasingly apostate, some people are surprised to find Presbyterians who still believe the Bible and stand for it without apology or compromise. Free Presbyterians are not the only Presbyterians who do this. There are other faithful men and churches, and we thank the Lord for them. However, they are increasingly difficult to find, and we want to kneel our colors to the mast. We believe the Bible and seek to be faithful to it in every area. The booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, sets forth a very brief historical sketch of how the Free Presbyterian Church came into being and what its doctrines and practices are. We know that in an age when there are so many charlatans and compromisers of Scripture around, people are justly wary of anything with which they are not familiar. We hope this booklet will help you to get to know us a little better. We'd be happy to send it to you free of charge if you write or call and request it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. So if you'd like to have the booklet Separated Unto the Gospel, make sure you write or call. We look forward to hearing from you. Yesterday, in our continuing study of Colossians 1:24 through 29, on the subject of ministering the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thought of the Lord Jesus as the pattern for the gospel ministry. Today we take a step further, and we go on to think of the price of such a ministry, a subject that Paul eloquently and personally and from deep experience addresses here in Colossians 1.
I know a preacher, and he said this is a joke, by the way, because he's a very good pastor. Let me make that very clear. He is a very dedicated pastor, and the Lord has blessed him greatly in his ministry. But he said this is a joke, and it was highlighting, you know, humor sometimes can reveal something very serious. He said about the ministry, he said, this would be a great job if it weren't for the people. And that's very often the attitude that ministers have. I have more important things to do, so don't bother me. And that's wrong. Paul says, here's our pattern, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that sounds very good, does it not, that a minister should be that way? And Paul certainly sought to be that way, and I don't think any minister has ever succeeded to a higher level than the great apostle Paul in meeting that standard. And yet now in verse 24 he comes to speak of the price of such a ministry. He says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Now here's a unique expression. He says, I fill up the afflictions of Christ in my flesh. Or I fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake. Quite literally what he's saying is, I complete the leftover sufferings of Christ. And the verb that's translated fill up, it appears only here, and it has a prefix to it that gives it a very, very important meaning. Literally it indicates that Paul was looking on his own afflictions as in some way taking the place among God's people of the Lord Jesus Christ and taking the place of his suffering among his people. Now obviously he's not talking about the atoning sufferings of Christ. They are unique. That's why he uses the word afflictions, which means tribulations or troubles. In other words, he's referring to the burdens of life, not to the expiation of sin by death. Paul couldn't put away anybody's sin. Paul's preaching couldn't put away sin. Paul's distribution of the sacraments couldn't put away sin. Paul baptizing, Paul giving you the Lord's Supper, Paul's suffering couldn't put away sin. There is no sacramental office in the Church of Jesus Christ. Let's make that clear. Or should I say there's no, to give it its real terminology, no sacerdotal office. That's the Latin word for a priest. There's no priestly ministry as such in the Church of Christ. All God's saints are priests. That's one of the great doctrines of the Protestant Reformation, is it not? The priesthood of all believers. We all stand equally on the merits of Jesus Christ, with equal access to God. You do not access God through me. You do not access God through any other mediator than through the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's not saying that his sufferings have anything to do with putting away sin. He's talking about the burdens of life, the afflictions of life. Now, in his life, the Lord Jesus suffered. And he suffered for the great purpose of the good of his church. He suffered preeminently in his body, but not exclusively in his natural body. As Paul learned when he was on the road to Damascus, the Lord Jesus suffered in his spiritual body, which is the church. You remember he said to him on the road to Damascus, "Why persecutest thou me?" He learned that day. Paul, or when he was Saul of Tarsus, was wounding the spiritual body of Christ, and Christ said, "You are persecuting me," so that the Lord Jesus continued to suffer in his spiritual body. And now, says Paul, since there is affliction, there is tribulation, there is trouble, there is all this suffering still going on in that body, what I'll call, says he, the leftover sufferings of Christ, I am happy as the need arises. And I say the word happy, for he says, I rejoice to do this. As the need arises, I rejoice to suffer, to bear affliction as the Savior did, for the good of his body. Do you remember that great prayer of Paul, and perhaps what we have read now in Colossians 1 will give it a new meaning? This is not just something mystical Paul is talking about. It's something very physical, very real. Philippians 3:9, he prayed that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Quite simply, Paul the Apostle, as a minister of the gospel, was willing to sacrifice his body for Christ's body, which is his church. Paul was willing to sacrifice himself for the body of Christ. There's a beautiful symmetry here. Now, it's not a true reciprocation. It's not an equality by any means, but there is a symmetry. Christ suffered in his body for me, says Paul, both body and soul, to save me from hell. Christ suffered in his body for me. I am happy to suffer in my body for him and for his body, which is his church. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10, remember, as he wrote these words, he's lying in the dark, dank, and deathly silence, as it was a silent place, except when he heard the footfall of his jailers, of the Mamertine prison's innermost dungeon. He's awaiting that fateful moment when he'll be taken out and his head will be laid in a block. It will be severed from his body with one ghastly stroke. And as he lies there, he says, therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. What a wonderful insight into the heart of a true servant of Christ. I don't want to take much time detailing what Paul had in mind as his afflictions and his sufferings. You should read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, two of the most autobiographical chapters that Paul ever penned, and get us an insight into the almost incredible and unceasing suffering of this mighty man of God. But he said, I suffer, for example, the care of all the churches. To Paul, this was a burden. He looked out there, he had seen church after church after church after church established. He'd seen people saved. He'd seen lives transformed. I think we so often miss the obvious when we read the New Testament. I love to quote to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. Because I think most people, including preachers, when they come to look at the Corinthian church, they zero in so much on the problems of the church. And it had its problems. It had awful problems. These were converted heathens, pagans. People who had been brought up in an atmosphere where their immorality, their adultery, their filthiness was raised to the level of religious devotion. That's the kind of thing they'd been brought up in. So we ought not to be altogether too shocked when we realize that they had growing pains. They had pains, but they were growing. When the Apostle Paul wrote to these people, he could go down a list of the most vicious and awful sins and say about these people are not saved. People who live like this are in their sin. They have no part in the kingdom of God. But then he says, such were some of you. But what a difference. You're washed. You've been washed from all these sins. You're sanctified. You're set apart from all these sins. You're justified, freed from all guilt, and invested with the righteous merits of your Redeemer, Jesus Christ. This is the kind of ministry Paul had. But as he looked out in these churches with all these wondrous cases of conversion, yet he bore the care. They were under constant attack. Many of them, like the Corinthians, were tripping up and falling. There was division in the church. There were false ministers coming into the church. There were false doctrines attacking the church. The state was against the church. And there he was, with the care of all the churches. The agony of the saints' halting progress. He says he travailed in pain until Christ would be fully formed in them.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying, thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.